All right, if you'd like to open your Bibles up to Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. I wanted to go through some scriptures about growth today. And this is a talk that was inspired by the fruit trees in my backyard. So, Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 11, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." A great passage of scripture here, which is all about how the Lord wants to see growth in us. He wants to see us, you know, he says that we start off as young children who are tossed to and fro with, you know, as Nina just spoke about in her testimony, you might have a bunch of weird and wacky ideas in our head from everything that we've seen in the past, and then we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and over time we grow and we leave those things behind. As it says in verse 13, that we come unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so God wants to see growth in us. And you know, we know that we're his children and he's our heavenly Father. And in a natural sense, you know, as parents, growth in your children is really important. You know, you start off with this little baby, and you know, when they're a newborn, these days, it's every few weeks or every month, you're off to the child health nurse and they get weighed and they get measured and it gets plotted on a chart. And you know, it's important to make sure that baby is growing, because if that growth line isn't going up, there's a big problem. And it's, you know, as soon as if that starts dropping off, you know, it's kind of, all right, what's going wrong here? What's the problem? We need to find the problem. We need to address it. And so growth is really important, and we all understand that. And as a kid, you're excited about your growth. You know, you measure your height against a door frame in your house. For me as a kid, I wasn't a very tall kid. I'm not a very tall adult, so that's probably not surprising. But there was one particular height, which was 120 centimetres for me, which was a really big thing for me, because at our local show, and Didn't Up Show when I was a kid, they had this ride that came each year, which was, I can't remember what it was called, but there's one that's, it's like a big merry-go-round, but it's got all the chairs on chains and it spins around, and you had to be 120 centimetres tall to ride it. And year after year after year, I wasn't tall enough. But then eventually I grew and I got to be, you know, 120 and a half centimetres tall, and finally I could go on this ride. And then I think that year the ride didn't come, and that was it. But we have these milestones that it's really important for us to get to as we grow. And so it is with the Lord. He wants to see us growing. He wants to see us growing in the Spirit. Obviously, you know, we have natural growth and all those sorts of things, but the Lord wants to see us growing in the Spirit. He wants to see us getting stronger and getting more able to do the things that he's got for us. We'll go to Hebrews 5 just for another kind of introductory scripture about. And in Hebrews 5 here, Paul is, he's got a few criticisms of the, you know, the Hebrews here, the Jews who are in Jerusalem and other parts. And we'll pick it up, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. So he says, For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of a full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So Paul here is a bit disappointed with his people. He says, oh, no, I thought you would be at a stage now where, you know, you could be more of an adult, but you're still like a baby. And obviously we know, you know, young babies, they live on meat, and as they grow, you know, they start onto solid food, and then eventually they just eat, you know, chicken nuggets and chips and refuse to eat anything else. That's what children do. But obviously the description here of the, you know, there is a time when, you know, we're babes and we're on the milk of the word, and then we move on to strong meat. And a lot of time people can get a bit confused about this because they're worried, well, how do I know if I'm still on the milk of the word or if I'm on the meat of the word? How do I know? I mean, I might have understood a little bit about Bible prophecy. Does that mean I'm on the meat? Is Bible prophecy the meat? And that's not what Paul's getting at here. So if you look at what he actually says here, he says in verse 13 and 14, he says, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of a full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." The difference between someone who's on the milk of the word and the meat is your ability to help other people. That's essentially what it comes down to. If you're somebody who needs to be fed all the time and you're not able to then go and help other people and feed them, then you're on the milk of the word. You're like a baby. You're someone who needs to be constantly cared for by someone who's more mature than them. But as we grow, we start developing the ability to help other people, to feed our brothers and sisters. And when we start being able to feed our brothers and sisters and being willing to feed our brothers and sisters, that's when we've moved on to the meat. We're no longer a babe in Christ who's reliant on other people, but we're more mature and we can help others. And that's the whole difference between being on the milk of the word and being on the meat. It's about whether you're dependent, whether you come to a meeting here purely to get something out of it, or whether you come here with an attitude of, okay, what can I contribute? I want to be used in the gifts to edify my brothers and sisters. I want to share a testimony to edify my brothers and sisters. I want to, you know, I can, you know, look at some scripture and I can help somebody with that understanding to help them grow in the Lord. That's when you've moved on to the meat. And that's a wonderful stage of growth that God sees and is incredibly happy with, because he wants to see us as a fellowship growing as well. But if we're all as a fellowship dependent on others to feed us, how can we then nurture new babes in Christ in our fellowship? We need to be able to feed others. And so that's why growth is so important. So what does it take to grow in the Lord? How do we get there? Let's go to Luke chapter 8, because it wouldn't be a talk about growth without the parable of the sower and the seed. See, one of the a parable of Jesus that we're all very familiar with, but it never ceases to be relevant to us as we walk in the Lord. So Luke chapter 8 and verse 5. It says, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Another fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit, an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that has ears to hear, let him hear.'" And we'll skip down to verse 11, where Jesus goes through the explanation of this parable with his disciples. And he says, "Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God." And as Jesus goes through this explanation here, he generally is talking about the word of God as it relates to the gospel of salvation. But this principle is not just relevant to the gospel of salvation. It's relevant to the word of God in its entirety. Because we come here every Sunday and on a Wednesday night or at other times, and we get the word of God scattered at us, if you like. You know, it gets thrown at us like seed. And we can, you know, and we also, we go out and we preach the gospel and we're scattering that seed as well. And as we go through these different categories of where the seed went, it's important to recognise that at our times in our walk in the Lord, we can fit into any one of these categories depending on how we take the word of God when it's preached to us. And so we'll go on, verse 12. So those by the wayside are those that hear, and then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And we see this all the time. We offer the gospel to people and they just ignore it. They're just not interested. It just bounces off. But we can be exactly the same as well when the word of God is preached at us. And if we're a bit proud and if we're stubborn, it just bounces straight off. It doesn't go into our minds. It can't take root. It can't affect change in us. It's just, you know, we can be this byway that it just, the word of God can't work with us because of our attitude at that time. Obviously not a good place where we want to be. Verse 13. And they on the rock are they which when they hear, they receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believes and in time of temptation fall away. And again, we see this so often, unfortunately, with, you know, people who hear the gospel, they respond, they are filled with the Holy Spirit, and then, you know, sometimes it's straight away, they disappear and we'll never see them again. Others, it's, you know, it's when they cop some opposition and it's too much and they don't want to follow through with it. But it's the same with us when we hear the word of God, when you know, through the gifts or through the word preached, we're pricked in our hearts that there's something we need to change in our life. There's a change that we need to make in the way that we're doing things. And so we hear that and we start down that process of change, but then we get distracted and we fall back into old habits and we forget, and because we're human and that's what we do, and we find that that word of God hasn't taken root because it was too, our heart was too stony at the time. And obviously we don't want that to happen. We want the word of God to change us because that's how we grow. Verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. And I think this category, the seed that fell amongst thorns, for me is the, and for most of us who have been spirit-filled and walking in the Lord for quite a long time, should be the biggest warning to us all, because it's easy to think of this as, well, I'm still here, so this isn't me. But what's important to note here is that it doesn't say that the plant that sprang up from this seed died. It's still there. It says, they which fell among thorns are they which, when they heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. They don't die. They don't bring forth fruit. And there is a big difference. And that's one of the key points that I wanted to bring out in talking about growth, is that growth in itself is only part of the story. God wants us to grow so that we can bring forth fruit, so that we can bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. Growth in itself is a means to an end. It's not the end in itself. And that's why it's so important for us to realise that just being here doesn't automatically mean that the seed has fallen into that good ground and is bringing forth fruit. We can be this big, lush-looking plant on a Sunday, but then there might be no fruit. No, we might not ever want to talk to anybody about what the Lord can do for them. We might never want to share a testimony. We might, you know, we might go out and look just like everyone else in the world and not have a testimony of what God's done for us. Because we can be this plant that, as it says here, the riches and pleasures of this life choke it. We can be so worried about fitting in that we, you know, we aren't prepared to stand up for what the Lord's given us, and we don't bear that fruit. And we don't want to be that, because we want to be, verse 15, that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. We want growth and we want fruit in our lives. And it takes, as it says here, patience. It takes, you know, a long time sometimes for that fruit to come. And back in October, out on the farm, I planted a kind of a test area. I wanted to put in some summer forage. And we had this patch of ground down near one of our big dams that gets really waterlogged in winter and you know, it's a bit salty and so it wasn't good for much, and we fenced it off and we were going to plant trees in it. But I thought, no, I'm going to try some putting in a summer forage planting in here. So these are seeds that, grow. They don't grow through winter, they grow through the summer, so they need the heat, but they also need moisture, and I thought this would be a good place to plant them. So I had a bit of a go, filled up the combine and planted these seeds out, and the forecast was for the next day after I'd planted them that there was supposed to be some rain coming, so I thought, great, they'll all get in and they'll take off and it's going to look brilliant. This is just going to be this lush green paddock in the middle of summer. My dad will be really impressed that I've been able to grow stuff in summer. And then it didn't rain the next day. All the day after, it didn't rain for about 3 weeks. And so all this seed was sitting there in the ground, and every time I drove past it, there were these pink and grey galahs out there and some ducks, and I thought, I don't know if any of this seed's going to be left when it does actually rain. And then eventually it did. We had some good rain and stuff came up, but it's really patchy in this paddock. There's areas where it's just bare and there's nothing growing and they make me sad. And there's other areas where there's, a really good, crop of stuff that's come up. It's not very tall, but it's there. And there's other spots just here or there where there's plants which are this tall and have seed head on them and look fantastic. I'm just like, why can't you be everywhere? And that's what it's like in the Lord. The seed goes everywhere, but it doesn't always bring forth fruit. And that's what it's like for us in the Lord. The Lord is constantly throwing seed at us through the word preached, through the gifts, constantly throwing his word at us. And sometimes we're that bare patch of ground that doesn't take it up. Sometimes we're the conditions are just right and it's this lush plant and all this fruit and it's great. And the Lord goes, I want you to be like that all the time. I want that growth from you all the time. He knows that we're flesh. The scriptures elsewhere tell us that. He understands the frailty of our flesh, so he doesn't hold it against us when we get it wrong. But he rejoices when we get it right. And we want that growth in us because it makes us feel so good as well. And so that's what we want to be doing in our walk in the Lord. We want to be that good ground. We just need to keep reminding ourselves that, we need to be prepared to take in the Word of God, to continue to see it through, continue to enact that change that the Word is trying to achieve in us so that we can continue to grow. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As we grow in the Lord, it's not just a matter of we just like a tree. If you look at a tree, there's all these different branches that come off it. And as we grow in the Lord, it's the same. The Lord has got these different branches that can come off us for all these different aspects of things that we can do through the Spirit, and He's got all this opportunity for us to grow. And sometimes we might focus on one particular aspect of how the Lord can use us, and we just become like a carry tree. It just goes straight up. These big, tall things that have no branches on them, and they're just really, really tall. And it's interesting because in my previous working life as a fauna ecologist, carry forests are actually not very productive in terms of the wildlife that they support. And it's because those trees grow so straight up. But if you have a much shorter forest, like jarrahs and red gums and those sorts of things that branch out and are really messy, if you look at a carry forest, it's lovely and neat. Everything's nice and straight. Looks like a plantation. And a jarrah forest or a white gum area, it's all messy. There's branches going all over the place. There's crooked trees, all sorts of things. But there's so much more life in those things because all that different growth that goes out everywhere provides habitat for all this wildlife. And it's like that in our walk in the Lord. The Lord wants us growing all over the place in the things that he can do for us because there's so much more fruit that can be derived from that. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12 here, let's pick out a few scriptures. We'll go verse 7. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these works that one and the selfsame Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. And so I just wanted to stop at that bit for a minute, because quite often people read this and think, well, I must just have one of these things. I must be just good at, you know, gifts of healing, or maybe I'm just suited to, you know, the interpretation of tongues. But what the scripture is saying here is there's all these different aspects of the Spirit that you can achieve. You don't have to limit yourself to one. The Lord wants all these different aspects in the church for the benefit of the church. But it doesn't have to mean that, you know, Glenys only does healing and Nina only has a word of wisdom. It's, we can do all those things because we all have the same Spirit. These are all different branches of our spiritual tree that the Lord can have growth in us to achieve, so that we can all contribute in all those different ways in our fellowship. We'll skip down to verse 28. It says, "And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." And a kind of a repetition of the same comments here. There's all these different aspects. We don't all do them at the same time, but we're all capable of doing all of these things. Not because there's anything special about us, but because we all have the same Spirit. Because these are the different aspects of spiritual growth that we can all achieve if we set about using the Spirit to do it. But it's really interesting here that Paul goes through all this about all this stuff about, you know, else in between. He talks about the different members of the body and all those sorts of things. And it's important to remember here that when we read these books, you know, 1 Corinthians, we tend to read, you know, 1 Corinthians, say 13 here, 12 here, and then we stop. And then, because this is the start of a new chapter. But that's not how Paul wrote this. This was a letter. I think I've ever written a letter to everybody, even titled chapter 1. How are you going? Chapter 2, I'm doing all right. That's not how you write a letter. It's a free-flowing kind of conversation. And so this is what Paul was having here. So he went through all of these aspects about, there's all these different aspects of the Spirit, all these different things that are needed in the church that you can all contribute to. And then straight away he goes into chapter 13 and verse 1. He says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity vaunts not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." So it's really interesting here that Paul, after going through all these different aspects of spiritual growth and the different things we can achieve, he then goes straight into talking about how charity, or God's love, agape love, is the most important thing. Because what he's trying to get across here is that you have the opportunity for all this growth, but if it doesn't translate into love at the end of it and using that growth for the work of the Lord, it's completely pointless. Like, you could have the greatest understanding of the scriptures. You could be able to quote the entire Bible, understand all Bible prophecy, but if you never use that knowledge to help another person, what's the point? You are, as it says here, just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You're just noise. You're not of benefit at all. You might have, you know, amazing faith, but when somebody asks for prayer, you don't do it. Then what's the point? And this is the thing, is that growth is so important because it allows us to bring forth fruit. And it's the love of God that allows that fruit to be born on those branches that we grow. And that's what's so important, that we look to grow in the Lord, but not for our own benefit. It's so that we can help others. So that we can, you know, as I said, we can understand the scriptures better so that we can help somebody else grow in the Lord. We want to have, you know, we all want to be really strong in faith so that we can support those that are currently weak in faith and are going through difficulty. We want to be able to, you know, have that word of wisdom, you know the right thing to say when somebody's struggling so you can help that person that's struggling, not just to sound smart, because anyone can sound smart. I try and do it sometimes and it fools people. It's great. Doesn't mean I am. But that's the whole thing, is that growth is not the end goal in itself. It's growth so you can bring forth fruit. And that fruit is about bringing forth God's love and helping other people with it. I'm getting through this a lot quicker than I thought I would. There you go. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That's where I wanted to talk about the fruit trees in my backyard. So we ideally, we constantly grow in the Lord, but we all know that over time we have setbacks in our walk in the Lord. Sometimes, you know, life just kicks the stuffing out of us and we fall right back. And that's how it is. And in our backyard, we've got a couple of fruit trees sort of like this. When we first bought our house, there were a couple of established fruit trees in the backyard, but we wanted more. And so we got a couple of apple trees, and we planted them in the backyard, and we had a new dog at the time. And we didn't understand how much he got jealous of the fact that we were digging in the garden and not paying attention to him. And after these apple trees had been planted, he came along and destroyed them. He chewed them to bits. And one apple tree in particular, he chewed right down to a stump. You had the rootstock, and then you had the bit that was grafted in, and what was left was about maybe 2 centimetres of the grafted apple tree in the top, and that was it. And I just thought, well, and, you know, I'd come home from work and we had gone to see what the dog's done, and I was like, well, we might as well just throw that one in the bin and go and get another apple tree around. And he said, no, we'll stick it in a pot and we'll see what it'll do. It might regrow. I thought, all right, good luck, but we'll see what happens. And it did regrow, you know. With a bit of love and a bit of, you know, attention, it started putting out shoots and those sort of things. And that tree is now like this tall. And it's great. It's all bushy, all these branches everywhere, and it looks great. And so, and we also had, at the same time, we bought another apple tree, which was a much bigger apple tree. It was like a semi-mature one, a couple of years old, so it's a couple of metres tall. And we planted that in the garden not far from where we planted this, you know, just hanging on stump. And the dog left that one alone, thankfully. But in the 2.5 years since that other one has been in the ground, all it does is grow leaves. Those leaves drop off in winter, and then it grows them back, and then they drop off, and then it grows them back, and that's it. It hasn't put out any more shoots. It hasn't grown any more branches. It's still bigger than the other one, which was chewed off, but its time is very limited on this earth, I can tell you that. And that's kind of how the Lord looks at his church. He says, you know, you need to be growing. You need to be, you know, it doesn't matter if you've been chewed off back to a stump. If you continue to grow, the Lord is happy with that. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you can read a few scriptures about that. In verse 10, it says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we are like that fruit tree. We have been grafted into that foundation of Jesus Christ. It's no good trying to, you know, grow yourself, you know, without a foundation, because then you're just doing it all in your own strength. You're just a natural person trying to do natural things to impress a spiritual God, and God just goes, I don't care, I created you. There's nothing you can do that can impress me. You need a different foundation. You need Jesus Christ. In verse 12, it says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he shall build thereon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And we'll leave it there. So obviously he's talking about building here, but I'm sure you can understand how the concept relates to the growth of a tree as well, that, you know, we grow and we put out branches, and those branches that we grow are going to be tested. The things that we do in our lives are going to be tested. And, you know, and if you think about as a fruit tree grows, they constantly get pruned. You know, they put out branches all over the place, branches cross over and rub on each other and are going to allow disease in those sorts of things. So the, you know, if you're a good gardener, you come along and you prune those branches off. And that's how it is in our walk in the Lord as well. Sometimes we grow things in our life which are not going to be beneficial. They're just going to rub on things and cause problems and let disease into our, you know. And so the Lord goes, I'm going to throw you a trial and just burn that bit off. And it's painful. Going through those trials is not a pleasant experience at all. And it's, you know, and that's by design. Because the Lord wants us to learn. He wants us to see that we should be building things better. We should be growing better. And so we just have to keep going. We just have to take that correction, take that trial, learn the lesson from it, and then continue to grow in the way that the Lord wants us to grow. And it's, you know, obviously it's difficult at times going through those trials, but it's humility that gets us through it. If we're willing to submit to the will of God and willing to say, okay, Lord, yep, I see how I messed that up, because I thought this was a great idea, but that was my great idea, not your great idea. And so I'm going to let that go. I'm going to let that branch go off to the tip, and I'll grow something better that's actually going to bring forth fruit. And that's what the Lord wants to see from us, that willingness to be pruned, if you like. And the same thing goes for us as a fellowship. We'll go to Romans chapter 11. Because these same principles of growth and bringing forth fruit apply not only to us individually, but as a fellowship. Because, obviously, as a small fellowship, we want to see our fellowship grow. I don't think that would change if we were in a big fellowship. We'd still want to see the fellowship grow, you know. It was a baptism last week, which unfortunately I wasn't here for, but I saw some of the messages come through about it, and everyone was so excited about it. And it is, it's exciting when the Lord grafts a new branch into the tree, because we love growth. We love seeing that new life in our fellowship. And here, Romans chapter 11, a few scriptures about that sort of growth. And verse 17. So it says, and if some of the branches were broken off, so this is talking about God's tree, essentially, and now being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakes of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou stands by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell severity, but towards thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the wild olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? And so Paul here is specifically talking about the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles, and being how the Gentiles were brought into the plan of God. But the same principle applies to us as a fellowship. We are part of God's tree. We've been grafted in. None of us deserve to be here. None of us grew out of, you know, none of us are descendants of Jesus Christ. None of us grew out of the rootstock. We were all grafted into it. And he's saying here, you know, at times there's going to be branches cut off the tree because of unbelief. And we see that as a fellowship. People leave us from time to time, and it's nobody likes to see it. You know, it's unsettling, and it's sad to see people go. But the thing is that most of the time when people leave our fellowship, they think they're making the decision to leave. But that's not what's actually happening. The Lord's got his pruning secateurs out and has gone, look, you're not bringing forth any fruit. You're just that branch that grows across someone else's branch and is just rubbing on it all the time and irritating it. So I'm going to snip you off. But that's not the end of them, because God's grace and God's love is still there. As it says in, verse 23, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. God hasn't taken that branch and thrown it into the fireplace and burnt it up. If those people change their attitude and you know, they're still spirit-filled, they're still our brothers and sisters, God's able to bring them back and graft them back into the tree again. They just need to change their attitude and change their position of unbelief. But we need to make sure that we don't think, well, you know, I deserve to be here, because none of us do. None of us have any right here, because we're all grafted in. And that's why we want to see growth in our fellowship, but sometimes we have to accept the loss of some branches to achieve that growth, because it opens up space for new growth to come in, for a new branch to be grafted in. And so we just have to accept that goodness and severity of God as it comes. Continue to look to ourselves to hopefully make sure that we're never in a position where God needs to prune us off because we've, you know, become proud, become unbelieving, become unteachable, and just continue to grow as the Lord wants us to. Continue to bear fruit. We'll go to Luke chapter 13 for one last scripture. Because I mentioned that the other fruit tree that's in our backyard, the one that's got limited time if it doesn't pick up its game. Because we bought a new apple tree a few weeks back, and it's still sitting there in its pot. And it's ready to take the place of that other apple tree if it doesn't pick its game up. We're just trying to encourage it. But also in our backyard, we've got these other, as I said, when we bought the house, we had these established fruit trees in there. And one of them in particular is a pomegranate tree. And this particular house that we bought, the house is right next to the primary school in town. And this is the primary school that I went to as a kid. And when I was a kid, there was this pomegranate tree that hung over the fence, and we used to go and pick pomegranates off it. And it was a mature tree then. And so that was, you know, 35 years ago. And now that tree's in our backyard. Not that it moved, it's now our backyard. And it's still there and it's still growing, and we've pruned it a lot, and every year it just continues to grow. It continues to put out new branches, and you know, some of them where you don't want them, so you keep chopping them off. It's just this really vigorous tree, and it fruits massively. You know, we brought in pomegranates because we just try and get rid of them because I don't know what to do with pomegranates. But it's this great tree. It provides a lot of shade in our backyard. It provides a lot of fruit. And it would have to be, you know, probably 50 to 60 years old. But it's still growing. And that's the wonderful thing about being in the Lord. It doesn't matter if you've been spirit-filled for 70, 80, 80 years, which is probably the longest time anyone's ever going to be spirit-filled before they croak it. There's no excuse for not growing. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the Lord, how long you've been in God's vineyard, if you like, in his orchard, there's still opportunity for more growth. The Lord will still prune you. The Lord will expect to see that fruit coming. And so that's in Luke chapter 13, that's where I just want to finish here with just another parable, the parable of the fig tree. I'm sure you're familiar with it. Verse 6. And he spake all those through this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. And he said unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And so it's an example here of God's patient with us. You know, it says here that the man came 3 years in a row looking for fruit. It's not as though God fills us with the Holy Spirit and comes back 3 weeks later and gone, where's my fruit? Chop you down, you don't have any. The Lord's patient with us. He encourages us. He wants to give us time to grow and to bring forth that fruit. But as we continue here in verse 8, and he said, Lord, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And the Lord's all about extra chances. Even if it's been years and we haven't really brought forth any fruit, then the Lord said, well, I'll give you a chance and I'll dig about you. I'll throw some poo at you. I'll give you a trial. You know, I'll prune you. I'll do all those sorts of things. It's not going to be pleasant for you because I'm sure as a tree, having someone come in with a shovel and dig all around your roots, it's probably quite traumatic for a tree to have that happen to it. And it's like that. It's why sometimes, you know, if we haven't been very fruitful for a while, we find ourselves in a trial. And that's us being dug around our roots a bit, trying to stir us up, you know. I'm not sure what the spiritual equivalent of having dung thrown at your roots is, but figure that one out yourself, I suppose. But the Lord's here, he's doing all this to try and stimulate us into growth. He's trying to, as it says elsewhere, to provoke us to love and to good works. You know, he wants to see that growth in it, but he has his limits. If we sit here year after year after year and we don't grow and we don't bring forth fruit, eventually the Lord is going to say, oh, I'm going to do some chopping down here and I'm going to move you on. And we don't want to be in that situation. We want to be growing because it's a wonderful feeling when you look back and go, well, I'm stronger, I'm bigger, I'm taller. I can go on that ride that I couldn't go on last year, spiritually speaking. I can endure that trial that if this had come on me a few years back, I couldn't have done it. It's a wonderful feeling to be growing in the Lord. But we always need to remember that the point of that growth is the fruit, the extra fruit that you can bring forth at the end. That fruit that comes from the love of God, wanting to help others, wanting to strengthen our brothers, wanting to preach the gospel and seeing new branches grafted into that tree. It's all about growth so that we can bring forth more fruit. Because ultimately, the fruit is what God wants from us. And I'll leave it there.